How do you handle change? What do you cling to when things are changing in your life? These verses answer that question and help us, especially verse 8. But verse 8 is often taken out of its context. It's not designed to be a bumper sticker slogan. It's not designed to be separated from what goes before and what comes after. In fact, in this passage, the connection with verse 7 is so tight that there's no, actually no word stuck in the middle in the original. There's no for this reason or therefore or any other kind of connection. We're told in verse 7 that we are to remember those who rule over us, who have spoken the word of God to us, and we are to follow their faith, consider the outcome of their conduct. And then immediately we are told Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The point is that the message, the outcome of the conduct of those who went before us, the message that they spoke is Jesus Christ. The message is Christ. As one man put it, the messengers may come and go, but the message does not change. And the message involves Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important that we see how verse 8 is actually a bridge between verse 7 and verse 9. It's actually not just a bumper sticker to be separated out, but it's designed to be given to us in the context of these particular verses. Verse 7 speaks about teachers from former generations that came before those who taught the Word of God to us. And maybe you're thinking of someone who communicated the Word of God to you, someone important in your life, someone who preached the Word of God from a pulpit, or someone who read the Word of God to you from across a table, someone who communicated to you the very Word of God, and someone whose way of life you now can remember. Remembering, it's a mental exercise. It involves calling to mind those things that you have seen and heard. And you can remember those who have had rule over you, those who have spoken the Word of God to you, those who in your life have given you the knowledge of the Word of God. So did the people to whom this sermon was preached. They knew people who had gone before, the former generation, who had spoken the Word of God to them. And they were being called upon to follow their faith by doing something else, which was a mental exercise, considering the outcome of their conduct, considering the way that their life was actually like a signpost, the way that their life pointed them to Jesus Christ in verse 8. It's likely that some of those who went before the current generation were martyrs. They had lived their life, and finally at the climax of their life, as they were giving their last breath, they pointed people to Jesus Christ. They pointed people to Him, and that was the outcome of their conduct, the outcome of their way of life. But remember, it's the outcome of their conduct. A martyr doesn't become a witness to Jesus Christ in just one day. It's actually a lifetime of denying oneself, taking up one's cross, and following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lifetime of leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ in all kinds of trials and difficulties and circumstances. That's what culminates in the life of one who's able to point to Jesus Christ at the end. And so this is a message for all of us to consider, to wrap our minds around the outcome of the conduct of those who pointed us to the Word of God. And of course, if you don't have someone in your life who could show you these things, you could find it right there in the Word of God. You find it right there in the life of John, the apostle, who's on the island of Patmos, who's in exile. And he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord gave him revelation. Revelation for a suffering church. Revelation in the book of Revelation, which proclaims to us that Jesus wins. it's important for us to recognize how verse 7 leads us into verse 8 and the message that is the person, Jesus Christ, the one who's the same yesterday and today and forever. And now, it is just as true for us as it was for the people that heard this sermon that there are various and strange doctrines around. And this is verse 9. There are different types of teachings, especially concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, especially concerning the way of salvation. And notice how we are being told that we are exposed to doctrines, plural, many different kinds of doctrines. But there is one message to which we must remain faithful. There are many various and strange doctrines, but there is one message. It's right there in verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is what was taught to us by the leaders who went before, those who had rule over us, and this is what is keeping us mindful of that which will keep us on the straight path as we encounter various and strange doctrines. It is this one teaching. It is this one message, the only way of salvation. And it's emphasized in verse 8 in the way that I just described before. There's no verb in the original text. The word is doesn't appear there. It's there in italics in your Bibles because it's inserted in there to make sense in English. But the actual text reads, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So the message is the person. The message is Jesus Christ. As you read the New Testament, you find there are other places where the Apostle Paul writes that he preaches Christ. He doesn't even say Christ crucified on the cross or Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Of course that's what he means. But in certain places he simply says Christ. You see, the gospel is the person and work of Christ. It is Christ who is the message of the gospel, what he has accomplished and what he continues to accomplish. The Lord Jesus Christ, risen today, proclaimed to you, is the same. That's the gospel message. You see, others can have all kinds of teachings. They can have various and strange doctrines that they might teach. But we have Christ. It is Christ, the person, who is our message. We have one message because we have one Savior. He's the God-man. That's the message of the gospel. Now, when we say Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever, we're not to think of him like he's a statue, like he's a religious icon or something, like he's a statue that we would find in a public square. He's not the perfect timeless ideal, like a philosopher might describe. He's that, but he's something more concrete. He's something more specific. He's a person, the God-man. He's the second person of the Trinity who took on a human nature. And so we can understand how this verse might be taken in a way that divorces us from history. But that's not the way of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ entered history. We know that he performed his work in history. He even says it quite clearly in that passage that we read from Revelation 1. As he lays his right hand on the Apostle John, who was so terrified by seeing him in his full glory that he falls on his feet as though dead. And he lays his hand on him to reassure him. And this is what he says. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. In other words, he's talking about a time when he died and when he was raised. A time when he died in history and a time when he was raised. And now he's alive forevermore. This is a time-focused work. It's the work of Jesus Christ in history. So whatever these words mean concerning Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not denying his work in history. It's not seeing him as this timeless ideal. No, Jesus Christ entered into history and he performed his work. He is the living one who died before. You see, the point here is that Jesus Christ is the same for you. That's the point here. Jesus Christ is always the same for you, no matter how your circumstances change. That was true of Abraham and Moses, who we could read about in chapter 11, who exercised faith. Faith that is, as it's put in our translation here, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. You might be tempted to think, well, Jesus Christ wasn't performing his earthly ministry when Abraham and Moses lived. But the argument of the book of Hebrews is that all of the types and shadows of the Old Testament find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And that the reality of Jesus Christ is what made those ceremonies and sacrifices acceptable, not the other way around. So Moses and Abraham and others who are listed for us in Hebrews 11 put their faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one that they embrace by faith. He is the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, your circumstances may change, but if Jesus Christ was there available for Abraham and Moses before Christ came, he's certainly available for you now that he has performed his work in history and he's been raised and he's the living one. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. He's available for Abraham and Moses, but he's also available for you. In fact, you have higher privileges because you live in a time when it's been clearly revealed that the Lord Jesus Christ died and was raised to be available for all of God's people throughout the generations. And so the book of Hebrews speaks of this time before the Lord Jesus Christ came into history and says that he was available for the people proclaimed in Hebrews 11. But when the preacher says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever in verse 8, he's actually speaking of something that's even closer to the experience of the people of God that he's speaking to than that. He's speaking of Jesus Christ as being the one who sustained the leaders who are mentioned in verse 7. Those who rule over you have spoken the word of God to you. They have gone before, you see. And Jesus Christ is the one who's proclaimed by these leaders. But now we are to look back on their life and to consider the outcome of their conduct. Who sustained them? Who sustained these leaders during the whole course of their life so that we can look back on their life and see their life as a signpost pointing to Jesus Christ? It was Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who is the sustainer of his people. Jesus is the one who sustained these leaders. And so that's why the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 speaks of Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. The one who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Anything that you face, anything that you are going through, any trial that you have, any medical condition, any need that you have in your life can be dealt with by leaning upon Jesus Christ. He is the one who sustained these leaders who went before. You might be thinking of someone in your life. Certainly the people to whom this sermon was preached were thinking of those who are referenced here, who spoke the word of God to them. But the goal is to see how their life is like a signpost pointing us to Jesus Christ. Like an arrow. Is your life going to be like an arrow pointing people to Jesus Christ. As you go through trials, as you go through changes, it will be as you embrace this fact that Jesus Christ is the same for you, regardless of your circumstances. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. What about today? What about now, when you are exposed to different teachings, different doctrines, teachings that aren't specifically focused on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation? People say, if it works for you, it's good. You should go with that. It doesn't work for me that way. But if Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, if He's always been the only way, if He's going to be the only way in the future, then the outcome of the way of life of these former leaders is very important to see, because they are looking at the one who can sustain them and who did sustain them, so that they are signposts for us now. So people will say that Jesus Christ is not the only way to joy, the only way to peace and contentment. There are other ways. What about teachings that tell you that you need an extra blessing to persevere in the Christian life, apart from the being joined to Jesus Christ by faith? Well, to those questions, you have the answer of the Word of God. Jesus Christ remains the same today. Hebrews chapter 1 actually quotes from this psalm that we just read, a psalm that is surprisingly overwhelming in its depiction of what it's like to be in the wilderness, what it's like to be one who is struggling, one who is going through a day of trouble. The psalmist says, "My days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread." This is one who's suffering in the wilderness. And where does this psalmist look? He looks to the one who of old laid the foundation of the earth, one whose hands built the heavens. And then he says, and the Word of God says to us in Psalm 102 and in Hebrews chapter 1 in the quotation, "They will perish, but you will endure. They will perish, but you will endure." In other words, everything that was created by God, the work of the heavens, has a temporary nature to it. But God does not. "They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same." And when the author of Hebrews quotes from this psalm in chapter 1, he's comparing Jesus Christ to the angels. And he's saying that they are created beings, but Jesus Christ is the one who created the heavens and who is the same despite the changing of the heavens. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. It means He's the creator. It means He's the sustainer, yes. But it also means that He's higher than all created beings. He's higher than the angels. Even the heavens will perish. Revelation tells us there will be a new heaven and a new earth, but Jesus Christ will never perish. Jesus Christ is the same. What about today? Today was a time for the people who heard this sermon, a time of great suffering, a time of great confusion. They had friends who were in prison. They had people who were seeking to take their property as well. And they had joyfully, at a previous time, accepted the plundering of their property. But now they were starting to waver. They were starting to wonder how I can persevere. And the message is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where is Jesus Christ today? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us He is at the Father's right hand. He's been installed there, and he's the great high priest who continues to pray for each and every one of us. Chapter 7 and verse 25 says the Lord Jesus Christ prays for us. He ever lives to intercede for each and every one of us. That's what gets us through today. It's not just my memory of the former leaders. It's not just my ability to look at the signpost of their life and follow the connection to Jesus Christ. It's not my ability to recall Psalm 102 and everything that it says about Jesus Christ being the same. It's Jesus Christ Himself praying for me at the Father's right hand today and tomorrow and every single day for the rest of my life. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same forever. So when the Lord Jesus Christ prays for you today, that's your connection to eternity. That's your connection to His presence forever when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. You see, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the only source of stability in life that exists. It's the only true and abiding source of stability that there is. But here's the good news. He's the same for you, regardless of your circumstances. And this is what it means to consider verse 9, just as we finish up, where the exhortation is to not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. In short, what's being emphasized here is that there is a tendency on the part of those who heard this message to focus on the physical aspects of how grace was conveyed to them as old covenant believers. And there is a new time that has come. There is grace that is given from Jesus Christ. And we can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive Him through the sacraments. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ by the proclamation of the Word. We hear His Word and the Holy Spirit speaks to us on the inside. And He is in heaven continually praying for us. But it's a different way that grace is conveyed to us. It is good for the heart to be established by grace. Not with foods. He's drawing a contrast between the old way that grace was administered and the way that it's administered now. It's administered by the Holy Spirit joining us to Jesus Christ. A fact which never changes. A fact which never, ever stops. And that's why we can be established by this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. And forever. I don't know what you're going to face this month. I don't know what you're going to face this week. I was reflecting on the fact that I actually preached from this passage a year ago, December 30th, at a church that we attend. I didn't know what this year was going to look like. Some of you have been through massive changes. Some of you have forgotten how many changes you've been through. And you only recall them from time to time because they're happening so fast. Where do you turn? Who do you cling to? How do you cope? Well, it's much more than coping, isn't it? It's seeing those who ruled over us, who spoke the Word of God to us. It's following the course of their life, seeing how their signposts pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's recognizing that we live in a time of grace when grace, though it is invisibly given to us, is given to us in powerful and lasting ways. The communication of the Word of God continues, despite the fact that these leaders who spoke the Word of God are no longer here. The proclamation of the Word of God, the effect of that continues. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is joining us to Jesus Christ. And the one who never changes, the one who always abides, the one who's always been the Son of God, God the Son, from eternity past, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who, through whom the worlds were created, Hebrews 1 tells us. That's yesterday. yesterday, the leaders, yesterday, the creation of the world. And yet today, installed at the Father's right hand, praying for us, continuing to apply His finished work on our behalf, leading us into forever. Because the book of Hebrews tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ holds His priesthood forever. If He's praying for you today, there's nothing better. There's no more stable source to orient yourself or the changes that will take place in your life than the continual priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the ongoing priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do recognize that this involves His work in history, but we also recognize that this work is effectively done because He is God. And because He is God, He does not change. And because He does not change, He has provided a way for us to be joined to You. For us to be joined to the unchangeable One. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through faith in Him. It's through the work of Your Spirit. And it's through His ongoing prayers on our behalf. We ask, Father, that You would make us those who are stable because we look to Jesus Christ each day and remember that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.